Well, I'm not going to lie. As a Ryder fan and hater of the Bombers, I really enjoyed watching Saturday, the East and West semifinals. First up, of course, Winnipeg and Montreal. And Winnipeg was off to an awful start. And I thought, oh, man, they're going to get killed. It was like 25-3 in the first half. And then by the third.
Wilson looking for a lead for Winnipeg. Right up the middle, pushing it in, and he's there. Touchdown, Bombers. And in just 6 minutes, they've eliminated a 19-point deficit and have the lead on the road in the East semifinal.
Man, I thought, oh, great, they're going to do it. Return to the Cup again in their own hometown. But the lead went back and forth. And Montreal would regain again.
Clarence on the run down the field. That'll do it. The final dagger into the hands of Darnell. Sankey takes it away. And Montreal has booked the ticket to Tiger Town next week.
42-33 in the Alouettes, who I believe Jamie and I long ago said would be in the Grey Cup. Jamie, I think they're destined to. I don't see the Ticats beating them. And later out west, the Lions played host to the Stampeders. It came down to the final seconds at a field goal. Tied at 30, only seconds left on the clock.
For the win! He gets it! BC Lions, on a Sean White walk-off, are heading to Regina.
Yeah, this is the matchup I was kind of hoping for. I did not want Calgary to win. After all, during the regular season, we had our own problems with Calgary, but not to say that BC isn't going to be challenging, but I just wanted to see Nathan Rourke come to town here and this matchup against Trevor Harris and the Saskatchewan Roughriders. The West Final is set now. It's not sold out. Tickets are still available. Coach Corey Mace popped by the Green Zone last Friday with Jamie and Locker, and he told us how he and the whole club were going to be watching that West Final together. And they did. And now they know who their opponent is and how to prepare. One of the questions the boys asked on Friday was whether or not he decided on who's kicking.
I have made a decision. The guy who kicks it through the uprights throughout the week is going to be kicking for us.
So is this it's a competition this week with Lawther and Hughes then?
Oh, yeah. No, it's been that for quite some time. So however the week plays out, man, we're going to put together the best roster possible for us to win.
All right. Now you know. And the coach hoping for a packed Mosaic Stadium, too. Lots more ahead on the Blue Jays. Coming up with Kevin Martell. And, of course, I hope you had a great Halloween, too. How many kids did you get? I had about a good 160, I think. I didn't keep track this year because the Jays game was on. So it was a juggling act going back and forth, answering the door. And it was funny, too. Kids were even asking me for the score sometimes, too. If you haven't already been by the CJME Morning Show Facebook page, have a look there. Shared a cute video of somebody who chose to play the Blue Jays game on the outside of their home. The face of their home just became a big screen. I think their house is like white, so they were flashing the game up as a big screen and was decorated for Halloween, and it's just a cool sight. A lot of you commenting on that on my CJME Morning Show Facebook page. Evan Bray caught that one as he was out with his grandkids trick-or-treating, too. But this is unfortunate, too. Regina police warning you to always check your kids' candy. Apparently, there was a not-so-welcome treat for someone who was trick-or-treating Green Moss Lane in the Greens. One person reported finding a needle stuck into a mini chocolate bar. That's pretty awful. Coming up with Kevin Martell, a major development in a shooting death of Tanya Myers near Weyburn. Police now confirming 42-year-old Chris Fallman was arrested Saturday. He's going to appear in a Regina courtroom later today. He's facing a manslaughter charge involving a gun after that deadly shooting on Highway 39 nearly 2 months ago. Again, more with Kevin coming up at the top of the hour. Admittedly, I'm not even a major baseball fan, but I became one on this Blue Jays run, and I wanted it all to. I wanted to see them win Saturday night, but it just wasn't meant to be. Kevin Martell from the 980 CJME Newsroom.
Man, that was...
Had it all, didn't it? Literally, that game.
One of the wildest games I've ever seen, let alone a Game 7 of a World Series. I was just you know, I think watching like everybody else, and just my mouth was open, like just jaw dropped on how the Blue Jays couldn't have pulled it out. How that play at home plate was just, you know, centimeters from the Jays winning the World Series. And then right after that, that circus catch in the outfield. I'm watching the outfielders. Well, I'm watching the outfielders, and at the start, they looked like they didn't know where the ball was and it was going to fall in. And you're thinking, this is going to be it. And then, yeah, he makes a circus catch, and it's
oh, so
extra
mad.
Innings. And then, oh.
Well, as one who is more of a hockey fan and an Oiler fan and watched the Oilers lose the Stanley Cup run the last couple of years, I now felt that same feeling even for the Jays, because that's what it was like for me. You know, like your favorite hockey team losing the Stanley Cup, just as it is your favorite baseball team losing the World Series. So I feel pain as much as Blue Jays fans do this morning.
But, I mean, you got to feel optimistic as well, because for a team that was not expected to certainly make the World Series, I mean, they didn't make the postseason at all last year. It was a down year for the Jays. For them to come back and be that close to winning a World Series, there's got to be renewed hope for next season.
Now, you're a Mariners fan, and a while back, you bought tickets to the 40th anniversary of Back to the Future was on at the IMAX?
Yeah, actually, it was funny, because when the Mariners got eliminated, I thought, okay, well, World Series probably won't go to Game 7, which would be on the Saturday. So I was like, well, let's go to Back to the Future. I've seen it so many times.
So you hit the PVR button to record the game, thinking I'll watch it when you got home. Did you get through the movie and leaving after knowing?
Well, I had everything kind of set up so I wouldn't hear the score. But naturally, I thought, when this movie's over, I bet people are going to be checking their phones and they're going to be talking about it. Sure enough, I thought I heard somebody. I didn't hear the complete conversation, but I heard enough where I was pretty sure
spoiled.
I know who won. So, yeah.
Oh, okay. By the way, how did you do Halloween? It was a juggling act there, watching Game 6 and answering the door. Did you have a lot of trick-or-treaters?
It certainly was. Double what I normally get, actually. The last couple of years, I've had about maybe, you know, between 20, 25. We had almost 40 kids this year.
And you were handing out full-size candy bars, too, but you said the kids were kind of picky.
Well,
some kids were picky.
I've never seen it. Well, in the last couple of years, it hasn't happened. This year, though, it happened several times where I'm, like, handing a full-size candy bar out, and the kids are like, oh, I don't know if I want that one. What else do you got? Do you have, they start making requests. I want to say, children, this is not a buffet.
That's extraordinary.
Would you like shelled peanuts?
Yes, I've never had that happen. That is odd. You hand me a full-size Kit Kat bar and I'm out of there. Thank you. But crazy. Well, look, some major development this morning to pass along here in the shooting death of Tanya Myers near Weber.
Yeah, a development, several months after it happened, there are now charges just laid. This is actually coming out late last night. 42-year-old Chris Fallman was arrested, and he faces a number of gun-related charges, including manslaughter with a gun. So he'll make his first court appearance on these charges in Regina a little bit later this morning. And as well, Mounties say they will have an update. They'll speak to these charges a little bit later this morning as well. So certainly big development. It had been a question mark for the last, as we mentioned, number of months. How did she die exactly? Who may have done this? And so this development today.
Okay. More on that coming up here too. And of course, we know now the Saskatchewan Roughriders are going to face the BC Lions.
Yes.
At the West Final on Saturday.
Yeah. It should be an exciting game. I think that was... I think a lot of people before the West semifinal, I thought BC should win this game is kind of the predictions that I heard, and they did. And Nathan Rourke, I mean, this is going to be, I think this
it'll
will
be a
great
battle.
Matchup. Yeah, yeah, it'll be fun. It'll be fun, exciting. We'll see how the weather holds up.
I'm not going there yet. It's only Monday. The weather's going to change. Thank you, Kevin. CJME News Time now is 6:57. Well, it was almost a perfect sports day on Saturday. The Oilers, they beat Chicago in overtime. I was pleased about that. I was loving the fact that Regina Rams won and are headed to the Hardy Bowl after beating the U of S Huskies. The Blue Bombers lost, and for the first time since 2018, they're not playing in the Grey Cup. Love that. But then the Blue Jays.
Here's the 0-2 pitch. Kirk
bounces one up the middle. Bends to the back. Over to
Yeah, they won 5-4 in 11 innings Saturday night. It was heartbreak, and it felt like all of Canada was hurting, especially those Jays fans streaming out of the Rogers Centre.
I mean, it's a real kick in the nuts, I'll tell you. I feel like we lost on a cracked bat.
We blew it, really. Three solo shots to the one to the ninth hitter. It's really just heartening to go through it.
It's heartbroken, man. I was hoping for a party tonight. I'm just devastated, man.
Absolute heartbreak, but I cannot wait for game one next year. Be on this ride, watch this whole thing go down, like absolutely incredible.
I'm just in shock right now. I wanted the boys to win.
How am I feeling? Super depressed and sad for our team, but I love them and I hope we sign Bichette and I hope we go all the way next year.
I am devastated. This has been 32 years. Bought 6 tickets for this game for my whole family. We'll be there in the next year. We'll do it again.
They played a good game, and I'm really proud of them.
All right. Frank, my producer, who has taken me on this journey with the Jays as a huge fan, and you know I've said all along, Frank, I'm not a Blue Jays fan, but I became one on the weekend. How are you dealing with the heartache? Because you even took Friday off to get your mindset right for game 6 and then into 7. How are you feeling Monday morning?
I'm feeling heartbroken. Expected, though. You know, cheering for teams, you're an Oilers fan. Cheering for teams like them or the Maple Leafs or whatnot, you're used to heartbreak. You're used to being the bridesmaid, not the bride.
Yeah.
So I'm used to it, but it's, I've gone through the 5 stages of grief, like, 3 times already. I think I'm through my 3rd cycle this morning. So we'll see how it goes. See how the day goes.
How did you feel during the game? There were so many highs and lows. Was there one moment that stands out for you? And some people are saying, oh, if not for the broken bat, what's your feeling on all of this?
Well, my favorite moment of the game was when the Dodgers pitcher threw in on Jimenez a couple times, hit him in the wrist.
Yeah.
And then the very next Springer comes up, the next at bat, cranks a line drive right into the pitcher's ankle.
Karma.
I thought the karma. I thought that was pretty nice. But all in all, I think of all the baseball I've ever watched, it's one of the best World Series front to back I've ever seen. So I think holding my hand on that, that's all I can do, really.
Okay, Frank. I know your heartache, as you pointed out. You know me as an Oilers fan, having lost the Stanley Cup.
You get it. You get it.
I get your pain. Thanks. It's Frank, my producer. Huge Jays fan. Huge ratings as well for the game itself. And Toronto is smiling this morning. Apparently, the Jays' playoff run generated well over $100 million into the economy. I think it's got to be more by the time they assess it, but an extraordinary run and lots of fun, but it's over with now. Hey, by the way, last Friday, the Foo Fighter tickets went on sale. Did you get yours? They're in Regina next fall, September 15th at Mosaic Stadium. Saturday morning, I was at a breakfast where Rick Bennett, the CEO of the Rail District, was sitting across from me, too. And he said that they sold more than 65% of the tickets on Friday, the first day they went on sale. And he is not fearing that this one won't be sold out. It'll be a sellout in no time at all. But if you haven't already got your Foo Fighter tickets, you better get on it. A lot of seats went on the first day. Thank you, Blue Jays. Are you saying that, Evan Bray, this morning, who's popping in here now for a visit?
I am saying thank you, Blue Jays, but I'm still gutted, Greg. I'm still heartbroken over that game.
It was just an emotional game. Where did you watch it Saturday
at home.
Night?
Yeah, at home. And it was.
Were you swearing? Were you standing?
I was.
At your television?
I was all of it. Yeah. I was all of it. I mean, I was out of my seat when the dugouts cleared. I felt like I might have to go in. Jody even said, "Why are you standing?" I'm like, I don't know, but something's going down.
It had every little piece of drama, and we were watching at the Cooperators. Kids had to play hockey on Saturday night, but thankfully it was at the big rink next to the lounge upstairs.
Oh,
Way to go, Preston. Good. Scored his first goal of the season. Saw that right below. Look up. There it is. That's what's happening.
That's perfect.
On the big screens. Yeah. It was fun. And every parent who was there to watch their kid play hockey
was watching
were
the
in
game,
the
yeah.
lounge as well, too. Yeah. But extraordinary finish. Sad, I know. On Friday night, you drove to Saskatoon, where your grandchildren are, to trick-or-treat. And you sent me this video, and I shared it on our socials, too. Yeah. Someone had a big screen set up
outside.
It was
actually, we were in the Evergreen area, so that's kind of the northeast part of Saskatoon. And there was a house that had the big Blue Jays projection, the game projected on the side of the house. So you know what happened is the kids up and down the block were trick-or-treating. The parents were congregated in front of this house watching the Jays game. It was hilarious.
I shared that on my socials, and then someone in Balgoni said, hey, we did that here too. Oh, so it was awesome. It was a common practice on Friday night. Okay, Jays out of the way. Halloween, you had good fun with the kids, I understand.
That's right. Saw a little awesome. Buck Martinez out there. I thought that was great. The guy, he had his hair spray-painted silver, and it was hilarious.
That's super cute. Yeah. All right, what else happened? Oh, you and I had breakfast together. Well, your wife, Jody, came. Yeah, she was trying to sell tickets to the Vanier Cup there.
Well, that's right.
Our friend Carl Fix throws this breakfast together where he brings a lot of people in the community together. Mm-hmm. And there was a lot of hobnobbing going on Saturday at Nikki's restaurant. Yeah. Great breakfast, by the way. But Sean Semple gave a speech. Someone in the community is chosen at these meetings to speak, and it was Sean.
Yeah, that's right. He was the community leader. We do it kind of once a month. It's pretty informal, but I like it. But, I mean, we were packed in there. We had 75 people listening to Sean Semple basically tell the Brandt story,
which is an incredible story.
Yeah,
it really is. I was fascinated how this company grew into what it is, and you know, I've known Sean over the years and what his company is. It was a good reminder of someone who decided, I'm keeping this major industry right here in Regina, when he was asked to take it to Alberta.
Well, and you hear about the humble beginnings, like his father, Gavin, who of course was kind of the one that got the company going, and now Sean has taken it to the next level. But I mean, it was a humble beginning. Like this was, they did not have much money. They were scraping together what they could to get things going. And I think the other side of it that I loved was how philanthropic they are. Like so many business leaders in our province, I mean, they really do give back in a big way.
And don't take credit for a lot of it, too. In the room also were some counselors. Yeah. That was interesting to hear because obviously Mr. Semple is very proactive. You know, you look at what he's building there with this new lounge and a theater and restaurant and wine bar.
Yeah.
And I loved hearing, and I'll say it because he said it too, that he says he wants a new arena too. And he did throw out 2030. I didn't know if that's when he
threw out 2030, but he also said about a new ball diamond. And then he said, that's pretty much a done deal. So
5,000 seater.
Yeah.
And he spoke of, you know, in the rail yards.
Yeah.
So now again, that's going to have to take the city coming together as well, too.
Yeah,
but, you know, knowing Sean, he'll make it happen.
There were a lot of, like you said, counselors there. There were a lot of provincial politicians there, a lot of other business leaders. It was good.
Okay, I want to go to the breaking news story of this morning here, development in the shooting death of Tanya Myers near Weyburn. You recall the story where she was shot. Her friend was behind the wheel. They were coming back from a psychic fair in Regina when she heard a loud bang, looked over and saw her grabbing her chest. Now, 42-year-old Chris Fallman was arrested Saturday. You're looking at some of the charges. He's going to be in court today. What catches your eye?
Well, I mean, he was charged one count of manslaughter with a firearm. So that right there shows intent, right? It shows like this is not careless use of a firearm, although there was that charge there as well. But, you know, the other one is carry a weapon for the purpose of committing an offense. So, you know, these things to me are obviously clear indications. This wasn't someone who was out hunting and was, you know, made a mistake or missed his target. This isn't someone sighting in a gun and missed his target. This is someone who, with intent, took a gun to a place for the intent of using it for a criminal purpose. So that's substantial, and I would suggest this is going to be quite the court case to follow along.
Police will be telling us more later today. And coming up on your show.
Well, we've got a number of things. We're going to talk about, we've got CETA on the show, because when we talk about economic development and nation building, there's a heavy focus on nation building Canada-wide. But right here in the province, in fact, there's a big conference happening this week to talk about what we can do to drive our economy. Saskatchewan's got lots going for it. And how that interplays between urban and rural Saskatchewan, I've got a couple of great guests coming up at 11 talking about that. We're going to start off, though, talking Jays.
Okay. CJ Amy News Time now is 7:27. Evan Bray back at 8:30.